Welcome to the Roto-World Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Joey Alfieri, and joining me like he does for every show is the senior writer and editor of Roto-World Hockey, Michael Finewax. Michael, what's going on?
Oh, everything's terrific. You know, it's getting cold. Next week's American Thanksgiving already, and, you know, a lot of people, a pundit say, if you're in the playoffs by American Thanksgiving, you're going to make it.
Yeah, and I think that holds true. I'm a firm believer in that. I don't know how you feel about that, but last year there were exceptions to the rule. Nashville was one. I think Calgary was another. So, I mean, you're not buried if you're out of it by American Thanksgiving, but you want to put the odds on your side.
Yeah. I think 13 to 14 teams usually make it, but you know, in most years.
Right.
By Thanksgiving. If you're in the playoffs by then, you're sitting pretty.
Yeah, usually that works out fairly well. So there's a team they're right on the cusp of the playoffs, but they're not there yet. That's the Chicago Blackhawks. And I know on Wednesday night, Michael, they had a six-goal outburst. Artem Anisimov had, I think he had a hat trick in that game against the New York Rangers. But they have something like 59 goals scored this year. 10 of them came in the first game. That was a 10-1 win over Pittsburgh. 5 of them came in the second game, which was a 5-1 win over 5-0, whatever, win over Columbus. But after that, I mean, you take those two games away, Chicago Blackhawks haven't necessarily scored a ton of goals this year.
No, they have. They haven't. You know, I've been quite perplexed by, I guess, Patrick Sharp is just nothing special anymore. You know, they picked him up and they figured he'd be a power play specialist. He'd give him some scoring. They threw him up there with Toews and Kane last week, but he's doing nothing. And, you know, I guess that just is par for the course in Chicago right now, that they can't get their line combinations right.
I guess in his case, the reason why I know you liked him. The reason why his fantasy stock, I mean, whatever's left of it, concerned me was really just because of his hips, because I know he's been pretty banged up. He had some hip injuries or whatever. So, I mean, it's been problematic for him. But, I mean, the main guys, too. I know Patrick Kane, I think, like 17 points in 18 games going into last night. He's at 18 points in 19 games now. But he's got one goal in the last 9 games. And then I know Brandon Saad got off to a great start, but he went ice cold for a while. I think he went like 10 games without a goal before last week. Jonathan Toews, I mean, he struggled to find the back of the net too. So, I mean, they made all these changes to fit themselves under the cap. But, I mean, obviously it's hurt them in a way.
Yeah, you know, I guess that's what happens when you pay two guys so much money. You know, you have to cut corners somewhere, and you can't keep everybody every year, and that's what's happening to the Blackhawks this year. And it's happened to them the last couple of years. I mean, they had a terrific regular season last year, but got knocked out 4 straight in the playoffs. You know, I mean, I thought they were a lot better team than they're showing. But, you know, I guess I'm incorrect, because maybe they are a team on the cusp, and maybe they are just they're from 6 to 10 in the Western Conference.
So then you are concerned.
Oh, for sure. You have to be. I mean, you know, it's not like Duncan Keith is 25-26 anymore. He has yet to score. You know, Seabrook's in his 30s. You know, it's tough. You know, they got a nice kid in Ruta, but you know, he's a rookie, so what are you going to, you know, you can't put everything on him, and it's not like he's a top 1-2 defenseman. Age is certainly a concern in Chicago.
One of the young guys who's actually been doing pretty well, and I think, I mean, this isn't necessarily catching people off guard because they knew he was good. Alex DeBrincat, he got off to a slowish start, but now he's got 5 points in his last 3 games. He's got 8 points in his last 8 games. So, I mean, he's really starting to pick it up. And, I mean, he's not playing a ton of minutes. He's between 13 and 16 minutes a night for the most part over the last couple of weeks. But DeBrincat looks like he's going to be a player. And, you know, even with expectations this year, he's been good. Like, he's been very good. And I don't know if this is standard value just yet. But, I mean, it's bordering on standard value.
Yeah, you know, the demise of the enforcer was a great thing for the NHL. Mm-hmm. guys like the Brincat, guys like Marner, guys, you know, small guys, Goudreau, who could really play the game, but there wasn't a place for them in the NHL because they were just so small. And now their skill, you know, skill is the all-important thing, and you don't have to get the 6'5 guys who all they know is how to fight or how to bang. And it makes a huge difference. And you see guys like the Brincat, and you just love hockey again.
And it's interesting because, there's other young, smaller guys. Like the Brincat, even though he's smashing, you know, junior records in terms of offense, he still slipped to the early second round. Victor Mete, a young defenseman in Montreal, he's a smaller guy. He slipped to the fourth round. Marner was an early pick, yeah, for sure. But I think a lot of these guys, you're starting to figure out that the smaller guys, I think you're going to start to see them go higher and higher. Like Nick Suzuki's not a big guy. Kyler Yamamoto's not a big guy. Those guys were both drafted in the first round. I think you're going to see more and more smaller, 5'9 defensemen, 5'7, 5'8, 5'9 forwards. I think teams are going to be less worried about drafting those guys in the first round because guys like DeBrincat are fully capable of playing in this quote-unquote new NHL.
Well, yeah, it's the preconceived notion, too, that you have to get a guy 6'2", 6'3", in the first round who can do certain things. And, if you're 5'8", 5'9", well, you might be able to make it and, we'll just pick you later. That's all out the window, and deservedly so. Skill is number one, and it should be. And, a lot of it really came to the forefront with the way Johnny Goudreau played. And, he was just a smallish winger, a diminutive winger who went in the fourth round. Calgary picked him, and he played, college hockey and excelled, and he came into the NHL, and he's just been terrific.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Absolutely. It's a very good point. You're listening to the Roto World Hockey Podcast. Joey Alfieri, Michael Feinwax with you. You can find us on Twitter at Joey Alfieri for me, at MFeinwax Hockey for Michael, and at RotoWorld_HK. For the Roto World main page, Michael, and also Roto World Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Hip Sports, exclusive for our listeners. Anyone who downloads the app, Hip Sports, that's HYP Sports, you have to download the app, use the code RWHockey17, and you receive 3 starter pack all-star players for your roster. Your promo code entry also gets you entered into a random drawing of weekly prizes. To enter, go into the specific sport you're looking for. So in this case, in our case, it would be hockey podcast for the podcast. And then to the menu to enter your promo code, which again is RWHockey17. So that is for Hip Sports, HYP Sports. Make sure you download that app. Michael, another team, the team that lost to the Chicago Blackhawks, very interesting that the New York Rangers yesterday saw their 6-game winning streak come to an end. I saw them up close last month. They came to Montreal for a Saturday night game. They found themselves down by a whole lot. They made the game interesting. They tied it in the third period but ended up losing. I personally did not like the Rangers coming into this year. Don't think they're very good. I still don't think they're very good. But it just seems like there's so much parity in this league. And maybe you disagree. Maybe you think they've turned it around. But there's so much parity in this league that teams, even teams that aren't necessarily going to make the playoffs are going to get hot. And they're going to go on these 5-6-7-game winning streaks at a certain point. But it's just a matter of now, how do we decipher if they're real, if they're legit or if they're pretenders? I still think the Rangers are pretenders because I know Henrik Lundqvist has ups and he has downs. He's had that the last couple of years. Antti Raanta, he stood tall for them in the last couple of years when he struggled. He's no longer there anymore. It's Andrei Pavlik now. But, have the Rangers convinced you otherwise? Like, do you believe now that they have a chance?
Well, they have a chance. Of course they have a chance.
I know, but everybody has a chance. Like, you and I have a chance. I'm just saying, do you think that they're legit?
No. No, you know what? You look at Lundqvist, and he, up until last night when he lost, he had strung off 6 straight wins. But if you look at his, peripherals, his goals against average is still over 3. I think it's 304. He's barely over a .900 save percentage. And that's with 6 wins in a row. That doesn't bode well for your team, unless you're scoring tons, which the Rangers, don't score tons. But, I mean, in Toronto, they're complaining about Frederik Andersen, and the Leafs keep winning because they can score, but his goals against average is 3.25, and that's a big concern. So, you know, Lundqvist is certainly held with a lot more esteem around the NHL, but, you know, excuse me, he's a veteran. You know, he's into mid-late 30s or mid-30s right now. And you know what? He's not an elite goaltender anymore. Again, the one guy I love on the Rangers is Pavel
Buchnevich.
Yeah, he's absolutely terrific. He's a stud. I think the Rangers can build around him. And, you know, they got guys like Zibanejad. And, you know, I wasn't a big fan of the Shattenkirk signing, but it wasn't for very much money. And, you know, he is a power play specialist. He's just not a very good defenseman. You know, there's some pieces there, but I don't know if it's good enough to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I'm still not convinced. And I know they got hot, and Lundqvist is going to get hot. I mean, he's still a good goalie. He's not a franchise altering goalie anymore. And another guy I'm really curious to see, because I don't think the Rangers are going to finish in the basement. You know, Michael, I really don't see them as being that bad of a team. I think they're going to, you know, they'll fall just short of the playoffs, but they have some pending UFAs there. And I wonder what's going to happen with Rick Nash. You know, he's in his 30s. If the Rangers want to go a little younger, they're obviously not going to bring him back. Definitely not at the money he's making now. I think he's making over like $7 million a year now. I think he had one goal in his first 11 games. He's now scored in three games in a row. And you're talking about a guy who's now on pace to score 30. He doesn't get a ton of assists, but still, I think Rick Nash, either they bring him back for maybe some less money, or at the end of the day, you can always trade him at the deadline, and maybe he can add at the deadline. But I think between now and then, he seems to have found his goal-scoring touch. Obviously, he's not going to score every game like he has in the last three, but still, I mean, if he gets anywhere close to 30, that's interesting even for fantasy owners.
Yeah, I don't think they're trading him so quick, because I think they'll still be in the mix come trade deadline time. And that's a kind of tough thing to do. St. Louis did that last year with Shattenkirk, which I totally disagreed with. But, you know, if you're in the hunt, you know, sometimes you're just going to lose the player. And to lose a player of Nash's stature, there's, you know, I mean, he's in his mid-30s. He's making $7 million. There's lots of guys you can get for $7 million, be it in trade or however. And so I don't think he's going anywhere. You know what? He could have another 25, 30 goal season in him this year, and he might get himself a nice contract. But yeah, I think Rick Nash is, well, for lack of better words, over the hill. And, you know, you're not going to get great fantasy value out of him in your pools. Even if he does score 25, 30 goals, he doesn't get a lot of assists and he doesn't do much else. You know, he'll get you some stuff on the power play, some goals and that, but I don't know. I'm not a big Rick Nash fan anymore. And, you know, it's just due to his age.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. It's just, I think the difference between St. Louis and New York is, I think St. Louis had, you know, they have quite a bit of stuff. They had quite a bit of, you know, they had assets coming through the pipeline. They had some younger guys on that roster. So they didn't necessarily have to trade Shattenkirk. I really didn't mind it at the time. I know you did. You didn't like it, and I think in the end you're probably right. But with the Rangers, I mean, there's not a ton coming through the pipeline. You know what I mean? So I think if you can get, you know, if you get to deadline and you're a borderline playoff team, or you're right outside the playoff picture, but a team calls and they say, "Listen, we can do a late first, and then, you know, another a B level prospect, and a conditional, you know, pick or whatever." I think, given the situation the Rangers are in, that they don't necessarily have a ton of, you know, young players on their roster or even coming through the pipeline, you know, I think it's a deal that they would probably have to look at.
Yeah, well, they did that last year in the offseason when they traded Ranta and Stepan to Arizona for the 7th overall pick and picked up Andersen. They also got Chittle, you know, later in with their own first round picks. They got a couple guys who should be good and interesting, you know, maybe not in the next year or two, but, you know, unless you're picking top five in a lot of years, you're not getting – the guy's not coming up so quick.
And Rangers fans don't – I mean, New Yorkers, they don't want to rebuild.
No, of course not. Of course not. It's – you know, that was the problem in Toronto until Shanahan decided, you know what, we're rebuilding and that's it. And they kept missing the playoffs by a point or two or five. You know, they get the 8th, 9th, 10th, 12th pick, and they didn't go anywhere, and they kept missing the playoffs again. Until you decide to do that, they got lucky with Nylander at number 8, then they got, you know, they got Marner at 4, and, you know, they got really lucky picking first overall and getting Austin Matthews, who's a generational player.
Yeah.
But you got to fall right to the bottom. You can't do things, you know, half-baked. Or, you know, you're just going to get yourself in trouble. And you just never get out of that. You know, it's not like you can just go spend a ton of money. There's a salary cap.
You can't do that. Bobby Hole leak at $10 million a year. That's not going to happen anymore.
No, exactly. You know, you just can't do that anymore. And, you know, the Rangers have certain cachet, but, you know, there's lots of teams that have cachet now. And, you know, you just, if you're going to rebuild, you rebuild properly. And again, I think the Rangers are going to be in the playoff mix come trade deadline time. And the owners of the Rangers are going to want that extra playoff money because, you know,
cha-ching.
I mean, that's just great. That's just great.
Yeah, I hear you. It's the Roto World Hockey Podcast. Joey Alfieri, Michael Finewax with you. You can find us on Twitter at Joey Alfieri, at MFineWaxHockey, and at RotoWorld_HK for all of our latest headlines in and around the NHL. So, Michael, I'd like to, I guess, take you back 2 years and kind of stay present day. We've seen this movie before, Montreal Canadiens without Carey Price, and it was supposed to be day-to-day with a lower body injury, and all of a sudden – you know, he was practicing before the team would hit the ice, and he was just kind of warming up with the goalie coach out in Montreal, Stéphane Waite. Now, all of a sudden, he announces that he thought he would be back in 2 weeks. It's already been 2 weeks. Now he says that he's going to stop doing the on-ice workouts because the injury just simply isn't getting better. And the only difference between 2 years ago when he missed the entire year with that knee injury, or most of the year with the knee injury, and now is that the Canadians have a suitable replacement in Charlie Lindgren now.
That's interesting.
Well, it's just, but there has to be some concern. And I know you don't care about money. You don't care about the contracts and whatnot. And I get it. As you know, most fantasy players don't necessarily have to look at that anyway. But at the same time, he signs an 8-year contract extension in the offseason worth $84 million. You have this kid, and I know he's only played less than 10 games. That's why I know there's a bunch of people on Twitter, you know, they're coming after me telling me, oh, it's time for the Canes to trade Carey Price. First of all, who is going to take that contract? Second of all, he's clearly damaged goods at this point. But third of all, this complicates things even from a fantasy perspective because you probably invested a high pick in Carey Price if you have Carey Price. And now the Canadians have this young, hotshot goalie who's played extremely well behind the team that doesn't score a ton of goals, and this kid's kept them in games. So I think Carey Price's fantasy value, even without the injury, takes a hit at this point.
Well, you know, I don't know. You know, without the injury, I don't know about that because without the injury, the kid never gets the chance.
No, but I'm saying even if you put the injury aside, now that they know what Charlie Lindgren is, like, you know, they have an idea of what he is, it's going to take, even forget the injury, forget the fact that his value is hampered by injury. Now you know what Charlie Lindgren is. You know, he might not get to play as often, Carey Price. Maybe they limit him to 50 or 55 instead.
Well, not this year. I think, you know, if and when Price comes back, he's going to play a lot, and they're going to send Lindgren back to the minors because
Agreed. They
want a guy like that to play, you know, to play him like once a week isn't doing him any favors for the rest of his career. You know, you might as well put Montoya in there once a week or once every 2 weeks.
Michael, I thought of you this week. I thought of you this week. You know why?
Why?
See who the Canadians picked up on waivers?
Yeah, Antti.
How many lives does Antti Raanta have?
Antti Niemi.
Antti Niemi, excuse me. How many lives does this guy have? He's on his third team of the year already. It's only November.
I know. This is crazy. This is absolutely crazy. I don't know what, you know, I think they just do it to get the Twitter people going crazy.
Well, I can tell you what the thinking was, right? Because Stéphane Waite, the goalie coach in Montreal now, he was the goalie coach in Chicago when Niemi won the Stanley Cup out there. and Marc Bergevin, who was the general manager of the Canadiens. Well, he was the assistant general manager of Chicago back then, but that's 7 years ago. The guy has like a 5 point whatever, like six whatever goals against average. He's been awful.
I know. You know, I love that. That's like they talk like, well, but he was good 7 years ago. You know what? Lemieux was a superstar 16 years ago.
Yeah, I was a lot more handsome 7 years ago, too.
yeah. I just don't know what they're doing in Montreal, and I'm sure you living there and following them, you don't know either. It's just, I don't know. I think they're another team that you just have to start fresh, you know, and maybe, I mean, you're not going to trade Price this year. You know, you're not going to trade him at his lowest value. You're going to trade him at his highest value.
But Michael, who's taking him? This is my question. $10.5 million for a goalie. You can have the greatest goalie in the world, but teams don't spend that on goalies.
Well, some teams do.
Nobody spends $10.5 million on a goalie.
Montreal does.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's one out of 31 is the only one.
Yeah. You know, some teams really need goaltender, who really need a goaltender. And like, I mean, Dallas would have been a perfect example last year. They, you know, they were a good hockey team and not getting any goaltending. And, of course, they had Anthony Emmy. So,
yes.
You know, there's my point. But you know what? There's plenty of teams. Like, if you look at, you know, Florida might need a goaltender, but they don't spend money. But, you know, Luongo was getting up there in age. And, you know, who knows how much he has left. And, you know, it's not like you can rely on James Reimer to be your number one goalie and expect to do a lot in the playoffs. You know, there's teams out there that'll need a goalie, and there's teams out there that'll figure, you know what, if Price is available, you know, we can win the cup with Price, and who cares about the money? We're going to win the cup. You know, we'll make a ton of money in playoff revenue, and we'll worry about it next year. We'll worry about the years after. Or he's our number one goalie, and we'll cut corners elsewhere.
Yeah. I think you're going to have a hard time dealing him. Like, I don't even, first of all, I don't think they want to deal him. And second of all, let me be clear, I would not deal him either. Charlie Lindgren, I think, is great. Like, what he's shown this year is absolutely, he's athletic. He's a fighter in goal. And I like the upside. And I'll tell you this right now. I'll tell this to all our listeners as well. I would rush to add Charlie Lindgren in standard fantasy leagues. I really would, because I think that he's going to get the bulk of the starts until Price comes back. And now Price is out indefinitely. So I don't even know how long this is going to be. But, you know, instead of playing guys like starting guys in fantasy, like, you know, an Antti Raanta or the situation you have in Philadelphia, where is it Neuvirth, is it Elliott? You know, like there's those like 50-50 guys type of thing. If you need a starting goalie in your fantasy league, I would go get Charlie Lindgren. I really would. I think he provides some stable short-term value until Carey Price comes back. But let me just be clear, Michael. This is a kid who, as good as he looks, he has under 10 games of NHL experience. So I'm not saying that the Canadiens have to trade Carey Price.
Right.
Because I think you're getting a little bit ahead of yourself. I understand what the temptation is, because the kid is just en fuego. He's just been fantastic. He's kept the Canadiens in games with some huge saves. But at the same time, the reality of the situation is he has less than 10 games of NHL experience. So it's Montreal. We often put the cart before the horse here. I'll be the first one to admit that. I'm sure you can understand that living in Toronto as well. But Charlie Lindgren has looked really good. And if you do need a goalie, if you need a good second goalie in your standard fantasy league, I think you can do a lot worse than Charlie Lindgren.
Yeah, you know what? Going back a couple years again, just like you said, same thing, everyone was going crazy about Andrew Hammond. Came in a bad situation at the Ottawa, went crazy. What was he, like 22-1 or something?
It was something ridiculous, yeah.
Yeah, and got him into the playoffs. And where is he now? He was a throw-in to Colorado in the tourist deal because of revived depth in the minor leagues.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm that's nothing against Lindgren, because everyone is their own goalie. Lindgren's younger than Hammond was, but you know, everyone remembers how great Hammond was. Not too many people know where he is right now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, there's no doubt about that. He was on fire, but then he just lasted. I remember they played Montreal in the first round of the playoffs, and I think I want to say like he lasted a game and a half in the playoffs, and then they went with Craig Anderson again. And Craig Anderson pushed the series to seven games. If Andrew Hammond didn't start those first two playoff games, I think the Ottawa Senators probably win that series. They end up losing in seven. It'll be interesting. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see Charlie. I think Lindgren has way higher upside than Andrew Hammond ever did. But, I mean, again, it's just, the point is it's still early.
A lot younger, too.
Yeah, absolutely. This has been the Roto-World Hockey Podcast. Don't forget to check out Hip Sports, just a terrific fantasy sports for gamers. You can use the Roto-World Hockey Podcast to your advantage, actually, because exclusive for our listeners, anyone who downloads the app and uses the code RWHockey17 receives 3 starter pack all-star players for their roster. Your promo code entry also gets you entered into a random drawing of a weekly prize. To enter, go into the specific sport you're looking for and then to the menu to enter your promo code, which again is RWHockey17. Michael, it's been a whole lot of fun. Is there anything you're keeping your eye on for the next little week?
Yeah, don't forget next week's American Thanksgiving. Yes. It's a crazy schedule because usually the NHL is a Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday league. Next week it's
a Wednesday league.
15 games Wednesday. There's no games on Thursday. So, you know, it's just a crazy, crazy schedule. You know, just keep your eye, read our columns, go to Hip Sports. The RW stands for Roto-World, not right winger.
That's true.
Enjoy the week.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely looking forward to that Wednesday. Everybody's playing except one team. I don't know which team that is, but everybody's playing except one team.
St. Louis.
Oh, it's St. Louis. Look at you. You already have that info. So everybody but St. Louis is playing next Wednesday. So leave it locked into the rotoworld.com hockey page, and we will have every single bit of information that you need. It'll be right there at your disposal. Michael, thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Joey. You have a great week.
You too. We'll talk next week. Have a good one, everybody.